This is Zach, and welcome to another episode of Reads on the Bitcoin Well podcast channel. Bitcoin has stabilized in the mid-60,000s, and the Fear and Greed Index is at 7. As someone that has been into Bitcoin for 12 years, it blows my mind that a price of $60,000 could mean that people are panicking about the downside. Not only that, but the last three times the Fear Index was that low, Bitcoin went up over 100% within 12 months. Not financial advice, but just something to put this panic into perspective. With that said, let's focus on something other than price and look at something more foundational to Bitcoin. And for me, the thing that back in 2009 started me on a personal growth journey that ultimately led me to Bitcoin. And that is the philosophy of liberty. It's easy to forget sometimes with the hype of the market and the excitement and fear of watching the number go up and down that Bitcoin is primarily a tool for freedom created by people that wanted to make the world a more free and sovereign place for the ultimate minority, the individual. So with this episode, I'll be reading an article written by me about the very foundations of self-ownership, property rights, and why something like Bitcoin is the exact tool we need to put these sometimes abstract ideas of freedom and liberty into concrete practice. So let's step outside of the noise and confusion of the markets and the hype and remind ourselves of some foundational truths. Some truths that led to the creation of Bitcoin in the first place. So thanks for tuning in. And please feel free to reach out to me with any comments or questions at my email, z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. That's z.addair@bitcoinwell.com. And I promise to always respond. So without further ado, please enjoy the show. The Philosophy of Liberty and Why Bitcoin Matters by Zach Adair. The philosophy of liberty starts with one fundamental truth. You own your life. To deny this is to say that someone else, some politician, bureaucrat, or institution, has a higher claim on your existence than you do. But no other person or group of persons owns your life, and you don't own the lives of others. You see, you exist in time, past, present, and future. This manifests in three things: your life, your liberty, and the product of your life and liberty. To lose your life is to lose your future. To lose your liberty is to lose your present. And to lose the product of your life and liberty is to lose the portion of your past that created or earned that property. The product of your life and liberty is your property. Property is what you create through your time, energy, and your talents. It's that part of nature you turn to valuable use. It's also what others give you through voluntary exchange and mutual consent. When two people exchange property voluntarily, both are better off. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. And here's the key. Only they can rightfully make that decision for themselves. Not the government, not a committee, not a majority vote. But sometimes, actually most of the time throughout history, some people use force or fraud to take from others without consent. Taking life by force? That's murder. Taking liberty by force? That's slavery. And taking property by force? That's theft. And it doesn't matter if it's one person acting alone, or a mob acting against the few, or officials in fancy buildings doing it with paperwork and legal jargon. Theft is theft. Violence is violence. Wrong doesn't become right just because you put it to a vote or call it taxation or monetary policy. You have the right to protect your own life, liberty, and justly acquired property from forceful aggression. You can also ask others to help defend you. But, and this is crucial, You do not have the right to initiate force against the life, liberty, or property of others, which means you can't delegate that right either. You can't vote for someone to steal on your behalf and call it redistribution. You can't elect officials to print money and debase your neighbor's savings and call it stimulus. You have the right to seek leaders for yourself, but you have no right to impose rulers on to others. No matter how officials are selected, they are just human beings. They have no rights or claims higher than yours. Regardless of the fancy titles, the impressive buildings, or the number of people cheering them on, officials have no right to murder, enslave, or steal. You cannot give them rights that you don't have yourself. Since you own your life, you are responsible for your life. You don't rent your existence from politicians who demand obedience. You're not a slave to institutions that demand sacrifice. You choose your own goals based on your own values. Success and failure are both necessary incentives to learn and grow. And before you ask, no, that doesn't mean leaving people to starve. It means recognizing that voluntary actions on behalf of others derived from mutual consent is the only truly virtuous action, because virtue can only exist where there's free choice. In other words, there's no virtue in stealing people's money through taxes to pay for the poor. And this is the basis of a truly free society. It's not just the most practical and humanitarian foundation for human action, it's also the most ethical. Most problems in the world arise from the initiation of force by government. And the solution? Simple. People need to stop asking government officials to initiate force on their behalf. Evil doesn't just come from evil people. It comes from good people who tolerate the initiation of force as a means to their own ends. People that thought themselves good have actually empowered evil people throughout history this way. Having confidence in a free society means focusing on the process of discovery in the marketplace of values, not imposing some grand vision or goal through governmental force. Using force to impose your vision on others is intellectual laziness. And it typically results in unintended and destructive consequences, no matter how noble the goal. So what does this have to do with Bitcoin? Bitcoin is the philosophy of liberty applied to money. You can't truly own your life if you don't own the product of your labor. And you can't own the product of your labor if your savings can be inflated away by a central bank printing money. Bitcoin fixes this. 21 million coins. No one can print more. No government can debase your savings through monetary expansion. For the first time in modern history, your property rights in money are mathematically enforced, not just promised by people in fancy buildings. The philosophy of liberty says property should transfer value through voluntary exchange and mutual consent, not force or fraud. But every fiat dollar in existence was put there by force and fraud. Every transaction requires someone else's permission. Banks can freeze accounts, governments can seize funds, payment processors can deplatform you, credit card companies can decline transactions at their whim. By contrast, every Bitcoin in existence only exists because someone worked for it, and it only has value because the market voluntarily decided to give it value. Bitcoin requires no permission. It's peer-to-peer, borderless, censorship-resistant money. You can transact with anyone, anywhere, anytime. No middleman, no authority figure, no one who can say no on your behalf or force you to use it. That's voluntary exchange in its purest form. The philosophy of liberty says you can't give officials rights you don't possess yourself. You can't vote for someone to steal on your behalf. But that's exactly what inflation is, theft through monetary expansion. Politicians print money, which steals purchasing power from every dollar you hold. They didn't ask permission, they just took it. And they call it stimulus or quantitative easing to make it sound sophisticated. Bitcoin removes this power entirely. No one, not politicians, not central bankers, not the majority, can vote to inflate Bitcoin. The supply is fixed in code. You can't delegate the power to debase Bitcoin because that power doesn't even exist. You're responsible for your own life, and that success and failure are necessary incentives to learn and grow. Fiat currency removes those incentives. Governments bail out banks. They print money to cover mistakes. They socialize losses and privatize gains. The people who make bad decisions never face the consequences. They just get rescued by inflation, which punishes savers instead. Bitcoin restores accountability. There are no bailouts in Bitcoin. No one can print more to cover losses. If you make bad decisions, you face the consequences. If you make good decisions, you reap the rewards. That's how incentives are supposed to work. To create a new world will require the courage to think, to speak out, and to act, especially when it's easier to do nothing. Holding Bitcoin is that courage manifest. It's easier to just use dollars, easier to trust the bank, easier to believe the government when they say inflation is transitory, easier to not ask questions, not rock the boat, not take responsibility for your own financial sovereignty. But Bitcoin asks you to think, to learn, to take responsibility, to hold your own keys, to verify rather than trust. It's self-ownership applied to money. It's property rights enforced by mathematics. It's voluntary exchange without permission. It's a system where no one can initiate force against your wealth because the rules are transparent, immutable, and equally applied to everyone. You can't vote to change Bitcoin's supply. You can't elect officials to freeze Bitcoin transactions. You can't impose your vision on others through monetary manipulation. Bitcoin doesn't care about your politics, your nationality, or your intentions. It just enforces the rules. The same rules for everyone, forever. Bitcoin is the alternative, the opt-out, the peaceful revolution. You don't need to overthrow the system. You don't need to convince everyone. You don't need permission. You just need to stop using their money and start using the free market alternative. Self-ownership, property rights, voluntary exchange, personal responsibility. These aren't just abstract philosophical principles. With Bitcoin, they've manifested in physical reality. Not your keys, not your coins, not your life, not your choice. The philosophy is clear. The technology exists. The choice is yours. What are you waiting for?